As we prepare to hear the scripture read and the word proclaimed, may our hearts and minds, by the power of the Holy Spirit, hear with joy what God has to say to us this morning. Our scripture passage comes from Matthew chapter 6, verses 10, which can be found in your pew Bible on page 6, or you may follow along on the monitors overhead. Quick and easy one this morning. Actually, your kingdom come. I had wrong in my notes. Your kingdom come. This is the word of the Lord.
So as we talk about the Lord's Prayer, you're going to have some of the world's shortest scripture readings here for the next few weeks. So when I lived in Buffalo, New York, I lived in an urban neighborhood. It was I could walk to downtown from where I lived. And in fact, I even got a picture of my house. So there on the corner, that the Victorian house, that I lived on the second floor of that place. And the neighborhood was, it was an urban neighborhood, so it was multicultural. It was active. It was an interesting place to live. And I lived on the, if you can see where those American flag sort of decorations there on that window, that was where I lived there on the second floor. And from that turret there, I could see up and down two streets there. So, and there was a, you can't see it here, but there was a bus stop there at that intersection as well. And so it was just the sort of place where stuff was happening all of the time. I mean, it was vibrant. It was exciting, but it was not a quiet, easygoing neighborhood. I mean, it was just, it was often loud and things were happening. And so one day I was in the house and I heard shouting outside and the windows were open. And so I thought, well I'm going to see what's going on. So I look out the window and I see a couple of men shouting, one on one corner of the intersection, and then diagonally across another man on the other corner of the intersection. And so they're looking at one another, and they're shouting, and they're both saying, "You come over here." And the other one's saying, "No, you come over here." And this, it goes back and forth like this. And I thought, oh, man, I thought it's going down. There's a fight's about to happen, and so I'm ready to call the police or whatever. And so they're back and forth, "You come over here. No, you come over here." And finally, one of them says, "Fine, I'll come over there." And he walks across the street, and then they hug. And I realized, I thought this is what, wasn't how I expected things to go. But, you know, they were communicating in their own way. It was a different way than I communicate, but, you know, in their own way. But they were offering an invitation. They were inviting the other person to come into his space. Now, we do this often in many different ways, don't we? How many thousands of times have you said this to a dog? "Come here, boy. Come here." How many times have you said that? Usually that's not an order, is it? It's an invitation. You're wanting that dog to bring that dog's presence into your life and that dog's happiness and that dog's joy, and say, "Come here, come here, come here." And what you're basically saying is, "Come over here and you'll be happier because I'm going to give you some attention. I'm going to pet you, but I'll be happier too because you're a dog and you bring joy and friendliness and we'll all be happier." And so when you're just saying simply, "Come here, boy," you know, well, that's what you're inviting, aren't you? We do this with family and friends all the time. How often have you said something like, "Why don't you come over tomorrow night? We're having tacos." Now, you're offering tacos. I mean, that's one thing you're offering. And we all need to eat. So you're saying, "Okay, you need to eat. So come and we've got food and you can eat it." But when you do that, when you say, come on over tomorrow night, you're welcoming that person's presence into your life and into your home. You're saying, "I want you and what you bring and who you are. I want all of that. I want you to bring that when you come over to the house." So, as I mentioned last week, we're going to spend several weeks talking about the Lord's Prayer, and we're going to hit little phrases here week after week. And so I want to talk about this part here. This is the Greek text, "Elthatou he basileia sou," which basically means, "Let come the kingdom of you." The sou part at the end is the possessive. So if you were to clean that up, the English, you'd say, let your kingdom come, or the King James Version, which we all know, thy kingdom come. It's an invitation, isn't it? It's saying, God, we want your rule, your kingdom, to come. Sometimes a place is more than just a place, isn't it? I don't know if you've ever had the experience of going to an immigrant church. If you haven't, you should do it sometime, because you can travel out of the country without leaving the country by going to a church made up mostly of immigrant folks. When I lived in Lake County, Indiana, there were four Disciples churches in the county, and my church was the only one that was non-Hispanic, and the other three were predominantly Hispanic folks. And a couple of those churches were made up mostly of Puerto Rican folks. And many of them were second generation or third generation Hoosiers, so they weren't folks that had just come over right away from Puerto Rico, but it was Puerto Rican when you were there. And there was a women's gathering of disciples, women from the county, and there were some women from our church that went to this gathering. And I asked one of them, I said, well, how did it go? And she said, we went to Puerto Rico yesterday. Now, I know what she was saying. She was saying the music and the food and the culture, it was Puerto Rican. And you had a little slice of Puerto Rico when you went there. Now, you were there, and you were in Lake County, Indiana, but in a way, when you were there at that gathering, you were in Puerto Rico when you were there. You understand what I mean when a place is more than just a place? I had two roommates in seminary. We roomed together one semester. It didn't last long. Nice guys, but I was glad to move out. They had gone to Texas A&M University. Their undergraduate degree was from Texas A&M, and so they were Aggies. And if you've ever met an Aggie before, you know that, some of you are laughing, you know what I'm talking about here. You know that the school spirit is a big deal for Texas A&M. And so Saturdays, my roommates would watch the football game in the fall. And in Texas A&M, they have all these traditions and rituals. And I brought a picture here that the whole the 12th man thing is a big deal. That there's this story that they were short and their football team, and they pulled this guy out of the stands who came in and played. And so they say the fans are sort of the 12th man on the team. And so my roommates, they were just so into all of this. And so before the football game even came on, they would have the Texas A&M fight song playing from the stereo, and they were up and they were marching around. I'm telling you the truth here. And now, our seminary was on the campus of Texas Christian University, but let me tell you, in our apartment there on those Saturday afternoons, it was Texas A&M there. Now, I learned to go to the library on Saturday afternoons pretty quickly, but you understand what I mean, don't you? When a place is not just borders and boundaries, but it's more than a place. When Jesus says, the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven, he's not talking just about a place you go to when you die. You could easily translate that phrase, kingdom or kingdom of God, as the rule of God or the reign of God. And the word that we translate kingdom could also mean just royal rule. Sort of like if you think about, I bet when you were in grade school, you remembered that one teacher who was that really, really strict teacher. You remember that teacher? And when that teacher was out on the playground, if you all were out on the playground, and if that teacher was out on the playground, you operated under his or her rule, didn't you? I mean, there was just things you knew you didn't get away with there, when that teacher was there, it was a different place, that he or she brought his or her rule there. In the same way, I bet you remember a really kind-hearted teacher who may have not let a whole lot of nonsense go on, but yet was still kind and giving and generous, and whenever that teacher was in the room, that kindness was sort of what ruled things. Well, when Jesus talks about the kingdom of God, he's not just talking about a place the way that we understand places. At one point, he even says, the kingdom of God is among you or within you. And when Jesus starts his ministry, the first thing that he preaches is, repent and believe the kingdom, believe the good news. He says, for the kingdom of God, let me try this again. Oh, there we go. He says, the kingdom of God has come near. Jesus is saying God's loving rule is not just some far away place that you journey to or some place that you go off to when you die. No, Jesus, what he's getting across is he's saying, I've brought the kingdom close in my presence. I'm here as its ambassador. It's breaking into your reality even now, and I'm the one who's bringing it. And so when we know and when we love God, we're living kingdom of God life even now. When we love one another, we're living kingdom of God life now. When we choose to love the stranger and the enemy, the one at the border, then we're living rule of God life even now. And when we pray, your kingdom come, we pray knowing that God's ways and God's intentions are what overcomes. And we pray that knowing it's coming, but yet hoping for its full reality soon, and we invite that reality into our lives even as we pray. Now, one of the things I've learned about living in Muncie is it's just big enough to have some things, but yet it doesn't have some things. You know, it's kind of that mid-sized kind of city. It's not the small town, but it's not the big city. So it has some things, but also, and if you've lived in a bigger place, there may be some things that you miss. And for example, like we have 3 Thai restaurants in Muncie, 3, that's amazing. But my wife and I, we were talking, and we said, oh, we wish there was an authentic family-owned Italian restaurant in town. You know, you got some things, but you're missing some things. And so we're kind of on that line, that in-between place. And it was in that spirit that I noticed last fall that some Ball State students created some petitions. And the petitions were, there were 2 of them I noticed, they were to bring a Dunkin' Donuts and a Chipotle restaurant to Muncie. And so they created these online petitions where you could go and add your name saying, yes, we want Dunkin' Donuts to come to Muncie. And I think both of them got a few hundred signatures or so. And the corporate offices of both places, I think, took notice and replied with this blanket statement saying, hey, we're touched by the love, we'll consider it in the future. You know, and I think they look at more like demographics and community income and all that before they come to any place other than anything else. But I get the petition. I get what they were asking for. The students that created that were saying, we want this thing. We want Dunkin' Donuts, you know, not far away, not an hour away, but we want it to come near. We want it in our lives. We want it not at a distance, but we want it to come near as a part of this place. And in a way, those petitions were asking, thy restaurant come, basically, is what they were saying. Well, when we pray the Lord's Prayer every week, it's a similar sort of petition. We're saying, God, your kingdom come. We're praying, God, we want your kingdom, your rule, to be what rules our lives now. Not as a far away, distant thing, not someplace way off in the future, but no, God, your kingdom come now. And if we pray that way, then maybe we should start living kingdom of God lives even now. Amen.